It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And usually I'm here to manage your life with my co-host, Carrie Kasem. But for some strange reason, she isn't here. I am so sick and tired of saying that because it happened a few weeks ago where she's AWOL. These are important shows, the last two shows of the year, the holiday shows, Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all of those holidays. That's this week's show. And then the next week we have our New Year show, and it's going to be a special one where we go through the top 40 list of all-time guests on Gervie's Law. And why do we talk about top 40 list? Because of Casey Kasem, Carrie Kasem's father. And where is Carrie Kasem? Not here. And apparently she's not going to be here next week either. She's out traveling somewhere. She gets more vacation time from this show than anyone. I can't believe that she takes vacation when we have the two most important shows of the year. And without Carrie Kasem, it sucks. I'm not happy about it. And I just found out. But those are my problems. I think we have to try and have a sense of humor about all this. It's the holidays. Let's all be happy. There's so much going on in our country and in the world that makes us say, how can you be happy when there's so much divisiveness, so many problems? But we can be happy. Even if you celebrate different holidays, it doesn't matter what holiday you celebrate. There's a universal religion, and that's called laughter. Having fun, making fun of ourselves, making fun of Carrie Kasem. It's laughter. It's a universal religion. And that's what we're celebrating today on Gervie's Law. We want to wish you all happy holidays. We hope you're enjoying the holidays and will enjoy whatever holiday you may celebrate. But one religion that you have to pray to is fun, happiness, and laughter. And we're taking a break from some of the serious topics that Carrie and I often discuss: politics, law, culture, division. We are all together on this because we're going to have some fun today. Even if Carrie's not here, I promise you we're going to have fun. We're going to feel good about ourselves, and we're going to laugh at the world and ourselves. And who better to laugh at the world during the holidays than a comic and a writer who writes some really funny stuff? He just came out with an amazing book, and we're going to talk to Michael Addis in the second half hour. And the book is so funny and so important that you have to read it. And I'm going to tease you on it because you're not going to hear from Michael for a little bit. It's called Who's Your Daddy? Bedtime Stories I Tell My Kids, but maybe shouldn't. The reviews are amazing for Who's Your Daddy, and I have a bunch of them here. I don't want to read through all of them, but I will give you an example of what you're in store for with Michael Addis in our second half hour. He's also hilarious and clearly smart. What a combination. Hilarious and smart. I feel like if I knew him in real life, I would want to hang out with him. Folks, you're going to have an opportunity to hang out with Michael Addis this afternoon. If you're on the fence, go ahead and pull the trigger on this book. You won't be sorry. Who could be on the fence? It's a fun gift for people with kids and for people without kids because the stories are great. Who's Your Daddy? We're going to talk to Michael Addis soon. But before we do, we need to laugh because this show is about laughter. Usually we're so serious. Well, not that serious, but we're pretty serious on this show, Gervie's Law. And the second last show of the year, we are now going to welcome Jill Kimmel. Now, that's funny. Jill is one of the funniest comedians you will hear. And she only started comedy around 2006, and she's performed all over the place. She was featured in 2018 Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal, my home country, one of the my favorite comedy festivals. I was on the plane with Howie Mandel. I see him in Calabasas about every week. He eats at the same place at 6 o'clock almost every day, Pick Up Sticks in Calabasas. So if you ever want to see Howie Mandel, go to Pick Up Sticks at 6 o'clock on a Thursday night. I bet he's there. Just for Last Comedy Festival, Jill was also featured in Comedy Central's Kevin Hart, Heart of the City. And she has appeared on sketches on a guy show named Jimmy Kimmel Live. It's so coincidental. They have the same name. How does that happen? Probably because Jimmy Kimmel is her brother. And she has some amazing appearances that you can see on the internet. And you can go to Vegas. Oh, actually, you can go to Tempe, Arizona, and go to the Dos Gringos, the sports bar in Tempe, and hear her every Tuesday night. She's been doing that for 7 years. And we're going to talk about a show she's going to do in Vegas. Jill Kimmel, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
What an intro, huh?
Just one guy now.
One guy.
One guy.
Are you really upset?
Are
you upset that Carrie's not here? I mean, you two could dish, but she didn't show up for work today.
Listen,
what's up with that?
I feel like any day you can get out of work is a good day. So good for her. But we're going to have fun.
Wait a second, Jill. Hold on. Hold on. How can you say that? She misses talking to you, and that's not a good day.
That's okay. We'll do this thing together. She'll hear it. She'll be like, oh, my God, I should have been there. And
exactly.
She'll make sure to be here next time I'm on.
Exactly. That's it.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your background in comedy, because it wasn't something that you were gearing up toward. You get divorced, you're a mother of two, and all of a sudden you're on the stage just like your brother and you're making people laugh. How does that happen?
I was always into acting. I always loved acting as a kid and that kind of thing. But, you know, when you're an actor, someone has to cast you in things. So living in Arizona, it's not like L.A. where you've got a million projects you can work on. So I was limited. And I don't know, it was about, I think it was 2006, a bunch of friends were like, you should do stand up. And I was like, no way, I could never do that. And I just decided, well, maybe I give it a shot. So I tried it and I ended up loving it. And I started doing it in 2006. I was 35. Yeah, 35. And started doing it. And that was 13 years ago. I haven't stopped since. I loved it. And I actually only got divorced like 4 years ago. So I was doing it for a good 9 years before I ended up getting divorced. So it just shows you that it's never too late. I had two little kids. I was not in a happy marriage. I was miserable at work. I was like, you know, your cohort there, just taking as much time off as possible. And I finally found something I loved. And, you know, people would say, oh, you were 35 going on 36. You had two little kids. You started a whole new career. Yes, I did. And where would I be today if I hadn't started it? I would be miserable still being an administrative assistant or whatever it was that I was, you know, babysitting for grownups, basically at a corporate office. And I'm really happy. So get out there and try it.
What a motivational, it's such great thoughts at holidays, because people sometimes get a little depressed. They're not living the life they thought they would be living. And, you know, they're thinking, I had all these plans and it's not happening. And there's Jill Kimmel, and she starts a new career, loves it. And then, you know, you get divorced. Did you get divorced just so you'd have new material?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I said, listen, honey, I love you. I'm madly in love with you. And I'm so happy. But a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. No, you know, we were not very young, but I was fairly young. I was 21 when we met.
That's young.
He's just 3 years older than me. And so we got married 4 years later. We were together for 23 years. So, I mean, you think about who you were when you're 21 and who you are when you're 44, it's just not the same person. And we hadn't grown together, and we're friends, and it's fine. He lives a mile away. We have kids together. Everything's great. But yeah, I just wasn't happy. And it was like things needed to change. And that's what I like for people, mainly women, because I think a lot of men do have it in them where they know they could do things. They've been taught their whole lives, you know, you could do whatever you want. And I think women of my age, you know, almost 50, we kind of came up in a time before people were saying to girls and to women, you could do whatever you wanted to do. So, you know, I just thought, I'm just not happy. How do I change it? And whether that is getting on a stage and doing stand-up, or losing 100 pounds, which I also did, or just, you know, going back to school for some, whatever it is that's going to help you get to the phase of your life where you go, yeah, you know what? I feel good now. You really got to just do it, because we get one life. I mean, maybe we get more than one, but I'm not aware of it. So,
you know,
I had to make myself happy in this life.
And you certainly sound like you're doing that. But when you talk about all this motivation to, you know, lose the weight, to change careers, to do the comedy, which isn't easy, with you have two kids, right?
Yes.
How hard is that? Because in the second half hour, we're going to talk to Michael Addis, who wrote a book called Who's Your Daddy? And he talks about his sons telling stories to his sons. You guys have a lot in common, and maybe we'll get him on.
It sounds really funny. Yeah, I like that you said, Who's Your Daddy? Stories I tell my children, and maybe I shouldn't. I was like, oh, he sounds like that's my kind of parenting.
And I think, you know, when you talk about the Kevin Bacon 7 degrees or how many degrees of separation, now, I believe that Michael actually wrote for The Man Show. And,
oh, wow. That's interesting.
And you absolutely have had something to do with your brother Jimmy Kimmel throughout your entertainment career. And there is some synergy there and having the two kids. But I want to just get back quickly, and we can talk to Michael about that a little bit later. But I want to talk quickly about how you balance as a mother of two all of these things, these accomplishments that you've had, especially, as you say, a little bit later in your adult life, and be able to be a mother of two, which is no easy task. I'm a mother of two as well. No, I'm a father of two. My wife's a mother of two. And it ain't easy.
You know, it's not. And you definitely have to have help in some form. And if that form comes in the form of your husband, who's their father, great, which in my case, it was not. He was not a very big help. And that's not a slam against guys. That's just a fact. He just wasn't very helpful. So I was lucky where my parents live close by. They're just a few miles away from me. And when I would go out, you know, I had to really juggle. I had a day job. I was working. I would drop my kids off in the morning at my parents. They would take them to school. And then they would keep them all day. Well, you know, they'd pick them up after school. And then if I had a show that night, like an open mic, or I was doing a show, the kids would stay with my parents. I would go do my show. If it was a show that I was off early enough, I would pick them up and take them home. If not, they would spend the night at my parents. There was a lot of juggling, and there were some sacrifices. I remember when my daughter was, I used to write, like as a new comic, I would write my jokes on my hand because I couldn't really remember them all. And I'd be on stage, I kind of glanced down at my hand so I could remind myself. And I remember telling my daughter, no, I'm not going out tonight, you know. And I put her to bed. She was home with her brother and my, you know, husband at the time. And I went out to do a show. And I came home, and the next day she saw the writing on my hand. And she said, Mom, you told me you weren't going to do a show last night. And I felt so guilty. I was like, But there are sacrifices that you have to make sometimes to be happy. And I knew my kids were in good hands. I knew they were fine. They were being taken care of. They were being fed. They were safe. They were loved. And I knew that I had to go out, and I was exhausted. I would sleep, you know, I would like fall asleep at my desk at work, but I knew this is what I wanted to do. And it's just like anyone going back to school or anything like that, working a second job, whatever it is you have to do to get to the next step of your life. I just had to do it. And wow. I was lucky I had a support system, because if you don't have one, even if it's your friends, if you have a great friend or someone that you can rely on, a cousin, a coworker, to help you with whatever it is, you got to reach out and ask for the help. Otherwise, you're just floundering and you're not going to get to the next stage.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's quite an accomplishment. We have to take a quick break. We're talking to Jill Kimmel, and after the break, we're going to talk to Jill about her 16-show engagement at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club in Las Vegas. And we'll talk to, that sounds like fun. We will talk to Jill about that and more after this break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
When you're diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer,
a lot of questions run through your mind.
What am I going to do?
What are my options?
What did I do wrong?
We've had those thoughts too.
But some questions can help you move forward.
Visit findyourmbcvoice.com for an interactive guide to help you learn the next steps to take after an MBC diagnosis.
And how to ask the questions that lead to an open and informed conversation with your doctor.
Start finding your voice today
at findyourmbcvoice.com.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO. Technology. Bloody Truths.
Truth, you will certainly send any text about your supervisor to your supervisor.
What's with Janet's bangs? Did she lose a bet with a weed whacker? LOL. And sent. Wait, no.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Janet, I think my phone was hacked or something.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Their advisors are ready to take your call right now. Your future is still a bright place. The help you need could be one phone call away. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. This call is completely confidential. And if you have private insurance, there could be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give them a call. There is no need to let addiction ruin yours or a loved one's life. Take the first steps now at 800-390-9528. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528.
We've got 2020 vision on 2020 AM 790 KABC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day.
Yeah, we're back. This is Gervie's Law, and I remember last Christmas time, we had this huge holiday show with Carrie Kasem and her family. And my family was visiting from Canada. We filled up the studio. It was so much fun. We were singing Christmas carols and Hanukkah carols or whatever they're called. And we did all of that together. It was such a wonderful memory we had. We had Carrie's nieces and we had my nephew. And Carrie's not here this year. She didn't show up for work today. So we are doing a holiday show without the singing, but we've traded it for laughter, for comedy, because that's what's important in this holiday season, that we have the gift of laughter. And if you want to hear the gift of laughter, you can listen to Jimmy Kimmel and Jill Kimmel, brother-sister act. I'm making it an act because Jill Kimmel is going to perform at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club in Las Vegas, 16 shows. I want to ask you, Jill, about that. Is your brother Jimmy going to be there as well anytime? Or is it you're going to hold up the fort?
Yeah, we're not Donnie and Marie, unfortunately.
No, that's probably fortunate, though.
Yeah, he's got so much with his show alone, plus all his charity work, speaking engagements, writing. He's got other shows that he does. He does the live in front of a studio audience shows, which are the Norman Lear events that he puts on. I mean, he doesn't have time to breathe. And it's unbelievable how much he gets done. But these shows will be every other Thursday. There's a couple dates, like there's 2 months that have 3 weeks in them, so we add in an extra show, but it's generally every other Thursday between now and July 23rd, I think, is the last one.
Wow.
It'll be 10 p.m. at it's called Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club. It's in Las Vegas. It's on the Link Promenade, and it's me hosting the show, and I get three comics. Every show is different. Every week has different comics. And they're my friends and people I love working with and people that I've wanted to work with for a long time. They're all fantastic. They're all just really good, solid comics that some I've toured with, some I've just heard about and said, oh my God, I got to get this guy in here.
Yeah.
So, we've got a really good mix. Our first show is next Thursday, December 26th. And it is, we've got Ty Rivera, who's one of Gabriel Iglesias's protege guys. And we've got Big Irish Jay Hollingsworth. He's a comic out of Seattle, and Chris Storin. It's going to be a really fun show. And you never know who's going to stop by. That's the other fun thing.
That's great.
I'm friends with a lot of comics that are performing at other venues around town. And if they want to swing by and do a little set, we'll always have surprise guests. So I'm really excited. And I hope people come out and say hello after the show and ask me questions. And here's the thing. We don't talk politics. I know some people go, oh, Jimmy Kimmel's your brother. You must hate Donald Trump. And the answer to that is, yes, I do. But I don't talk politics on stage.
What about Sean Hannity, though? That's a good pair for Jimmy, and I'm sure you're buddies with Sean.
I know nothing about Sean except that he's not my favorite. How do you say in English? No, you know what? Listen, whatever they've got going on in their rivalry, I don't talk about any of that. I talk about stuff you can relate to. You feel like you've just spent the coffee break at work in the break room with me. We talk about weight loss and kids and divorce and dating younger guys and the internet and social media. It's fun. It's a good time. It's a night to come out. Forget about, like you said earlier, the disparity and the division in the world and things that are going on. We have fun. We talk about just things to make you laugh. And every comic's different. Everyone brings a different thing to the table, which is nice because there's something for everybody.
And
so I really hope people come out.
And your forte, again, is comedy through storytelling. And interestingly enough, after the break, we're going to talk to Michael Addis. And we talked about this before the last segment. And we're going to talk about Who's Your Daddy, which is the book about telling stories to your kids. And a lot of your comedy is focused on stories, whether it's about weight loss or kids. You grew up in Vegas and you're going back to Vegas for these shows.
That's
like a homecoming.
It's really nice. Our Aunt Chippy still lives there, so that's fun. So she'll probably be out at a lot of the shows because she's a big supporter and she likes to come out. So if you want to meet Aunt Chippy, it's likely that she will be at many of the shows. We are from there. We grew up there. We're from Brooklyn originally, but I was 6 when we moved to Vegas. So Vegas is what I consider home. And I left there when I was 15, but that's where I got, I grew up. I went to church. That was my home. So it's definitely a homecoming, and we have a lot of friends, people who we grew up with, who we're still friends with, that live there, and a lot of them will be out, and a lot of tourists as well. It's like, who doesn't love Vegas? And I know Christmas time is hard for some people, so a lot of people do go to Vegas. They go, you know what, I don't do the traditional thing.
Right.
I don't have a traditional family Christmas setting or whatever, or I'm not religious, I don't celebrate Christmas. Go to Vegas. We got plenty for you to do there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And listen, there's nobody who doesn't love to laugh. Even the most serious people love to feel good. And like, you come, we'll have a laugh, we'll have a drink, we'll get a little food. They've got really good food at the club. We'll have a nosh. It'll be a good time.
And it's so important in these days where people, like you said, divisiveness and there's so much stress. And everyone can relax a little bit. I think that's why we're talking about this on this show, to do good, to have fun. Now, when we talk about do good, I did notice on your Twitter, and that's it's me, Jill Kimmel. You mentioned Jimmy Kimmel's The Serious Goose. And that's something that I think you feel very important about.
Yes, that book is a book that Jimmy just wrote. It's funny because when you were saying earlier, they wrote a book, and I'm like, I didn't write a book. My brother wrote it. I didn't realize you were talking about Michael Addis. But yes, Jimmy just wrote a book called The Serious Goose, and it's a book you can read to your kids. He illustrated and hand-lettered the entire thing. So when you're reading the words, he wrote that. That's his handwriting, his illustrations. We always thought he'd be an artist growing up. And the book is about a goose who's a very serious goose, and it's you read it to your kids to try to get them to interact with you, to make the goose laugh, to make it a silly goose. And the point of the book is just, have fun and whatever. But all the proceeds from the book go to children's hospitals around the country. His son, my nephew Billy, was born with a congenital heart defect. And it was at Los Angeles Children's Hospital. And the doctors and nurses there were amazing and very instrumental in saving his life. And so Jimmy's very dedicated about raising money for all children's hospitals. So that's what the proceeds of the book go to. You can get it on Amazon, and it's a really fun read. I got a couple of copies, and I'm going to give them out to my boyfriend's nephew. Oh, don't tell. He's only 4, so he won't know.
Hopefully he's not listening.
I mean, everyone on my side of the family has them already, but we bought some copies for gifts for people, and it's a fun read. It's a hardcover book. You can read it in under 5 minutes to your kids. Yeah, get a copy, because what is better than donating to children's hospitals at this time of year?
You know, your family is so focused on doing good. You know, you talk about Jimmy's book. You talk about your motivation for making people laugh and having fun and taking a break from the seriousness of everything that goes on in the world and stress in people's lives. I think it's such an admirable objective. And it sounds like you're going to have so much fun doing these shows at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club in Las Vegas. And that's really the main thing.
It is. It's going to be so much fun. Listen,
you know, it sounds good to be like, we're admirable. We like to, but honestly, it's kind of selfish, because what feels better than doing good things for other people or making other people laugh or raising money for people who need it? Like, honestly, that feels good.
Right.
So listen, whatever the reason is, it's great. We love to do it. And luckily we're all kind of in the same business. My little brother is the showrunner for Crank Anchors. He's super funny.
Jonathan.
We're just in the business. Yeah, Jonathan. We love to just make people laugh, and it feels good for us and for them. And hey, what's better than that? Nothing.
And I really appreciate your honesty on that, because a lot of people try to do things under the guise of doing good and everything. And what you're saying is what I wrote about in college. I did an article called Egoism versus Altruism. And I argued that everything that you do for others really reflects on doing something for yourself. And there's a very fine line.
Okay. Right. And that's okay. Because listen, I don't care if someone posts a video online that goes, look at me. I just paid off 10 people's layaway at Walmart. Look at what a good person I am. You know what? That's fine. Because guess what? They still just paid off 10 people's layaway at Walmart.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know what? It's fine. It doesn't matter why you're doing good deeds, as long as you're doing them. It really doesn't matter.
And I have to tell you, because Jill Kimmel, I before I let you go, I really appreciate your attitude, because a few weeks ago I had on the show Rush Limbaugh's brother, David, and I mentioned something about Rush, and he got really upset. He's like, why are you asking me about Rush? You are so easygoing. It's like, you want to talk about Jimmy? Let's talk about the book, The Serious Goose. Let's talk about my brother, Jonathan. Let's talk about anything. I'm not going to feel like I'm going to get offended by anything we talk about, because life is too short. Let's have fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to mention something about Rush, and David, you know, got a little pissed, but, you know, we mended fences. On this show, there's no politics. I do right, left wing. It doesn't matter.
Listen, I know this. I know that I'm funny, and when you come to see my comedy, you're going to laugh and enjoy it. But I also know that part of the intrigue about who I am is that Jimmy's my brother, because he's great and he's funny and he's doing all these things. And that's great. That's fine. Like, you know what? If I had a brother who was like a neurosurgeon and you asked about that, I'd be like, yeah, that's cool. So I understand him probably being like, oh, why are you asking about Rush? Because some people get like, I'm my own person. I'm doing my own good stuff. But I get it. Of course you're interested. I'm interested in Jimmy. And I'm about to go to his house on Sunday for dinner. Like, it's interesting to hear about people's lives, especially when the people around them are interesting. So I appreciate you having me on. I really do.
We appreciate having you on.
Hopefully your little cohort there is in studio next time. Because, I grew up with Casey Kasem. And to me, that's super exciting. And I hope she wouldn't be like, why are you asking about my dad? Well, hello, he's Casey Kasem.
Exactly.
American
She's made a career out of talking about her dad, so she won't be offended by that. But next time, you'll come in studio. We'll make sure that Carrie's here. I want to make sure that people can find you on Twitter. It's me, Jill Kimmel. On Instagram, it's me, Jill Kimmel. And Facebook, Jill Kimmel Comedy.
Yep. And I do these videos like once a month where they're called What a Mouth. And they're fun, like little rants about different things. This week I talked about The Elf on a Shelf. So, it's fun little things. Follow me there and drop a note, say hi, and hopefully I can meet everybody at shows sometime.
Yeah, it sounds great. Jill Kimmel, have a happy holidays. Thanks for being on the show.
And
good luck with everything in Vegas and everything else. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks so much. Take care.
All right, take care. All right, that's going to do it for Jill Kimmel. Next, we have Michael Addis. One funny person after another. You won't want to miss it. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
AM 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update, I'm Steve Cumming. Officials in New Zealand are raising the death toll from a volcanic eruption earlier this month. A tourist who had been hospitalized since the eruption died, bringing the death toll to 17. The volcano on White Island is a popular tourist destination. An Australian teen and a New Zealand tour guide are still missing, but they're presumed dead as officials believe their bodies were washed out to sea. For the first time in over 200 years, there will not be a Christmas Mass at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. A devastating fire destroyed the roof and spire of the iconic Gothic building in the heart of the French capital back in April. The last time there was no midnight Mass at Notre Dame was during the French Revolution. The cathedral's parishioners will gather in another historic church a mile away. KABC SoCal weather, rain this evening and tonight with lows in the upper 40s to mid-50s. More news coming up in 30 minutes, continuing coverage at KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now, 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Their advisors are ready to take your call right now. Your future is still a bright place. The help you need could be one phone call away. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. This call is completely confidential. And if you have private insurance, there could be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give them a call. There is no need to let addiction ruin yours or a loved one's life. Take the first steps now at 800-390-9528. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528.
The beacon of common sense. AM 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervey's Law, giving you a new perspective to enrich your life. Now, here's your host, Alan Gervey.
And we're back doing our annual holiday show, although Wayman keeps playing Christmas music. There's Hanukkah, too. Some of us celebrate a different holiday, but I really love Christmas music. When I grew up in Winnipeg, Canada, all I did was go Christmas caroling. I went to public school, and I think I was the only Jew there, so I learned everything I could about Christmas carols. I can sing every one of them, but it would be nice once in a while just to hear maybe some, you know, Hanukkah things. I'll see if we can get that for the next break. So we are doing a little bit of comedy here, and whenever you talk about comedy, there's some truth and reality in the comedy. And our next guest, Michael Addis, is really an expert in combining really intelligent thoughts with comedy. And I love what he's done in his book, and if you haven't read it yet, you really need to. It's called Who's Your Daddy? Bedtime Stories I Tell My Kids, but maybe I shouldn't, or maybe shouldn't. And the reason why I'm so intrigued by that is the fact that I have a 5 and 6 year old, actually he's turning 7 in 2 days. And my daughter's 5 turning 6 in February. And I talk about Hudson and Harper often on the show. And one of the things that I haven't really spoken a lot about is since they were born, I've told them stories and stories and stories and stories. And it's always about my childhood or about me growing up. And I think it's so important. One of the things, though, and I'm going to ask Michael about this, because I started telling them at such a young age, I didn't realize that they wouldn't be remembering any of the stories. And I'm into my, you know, the third rerun of stories. And now at this age, they start remembering things a little more. But I say to them, I've been telling you this same story since you were 2 years old. And they look at me with a blank face like I'm telling it for the first time. So maybe that's good. But at the other time, I get bored with the story. I want to read a little bit about what people say about Michael Addis's writing. And by the way, in case you don't know, he's a comedic television film director. He's made his mark in hidden camera comedy, reality style comedy. I mean, this book is something that he's come out with recently, but he's had a long career. His debut feature, Poor White Trash, starring Jamie Presley and Sean Young, was a big hit in 2000. He featured documentary Heckler. It premiered at the 2007 Tribeca Film Festival. He was a showrunner in the TV hit Impractical Jokers. He was executive producer of the BET hit comedy series Hell Date. He's been in the business a long time. He's written for The Man Show with Jimmy Kimmel, as I said before. And the book has so many great reviews. And here's one of them now. I'm not a parent, but still enjoy reading this book. The book is not only for kids, it's entertaining and witty for adults too. Love most about the conversations about boys and dads at the end of each story. This is a breezy, witty read, great for kids and parents like me. The author has a terrific way of personalizing his experience while at the same time making it feel universal, full of sweet, humanizing touches. This should be in print and on the front table at every single Barnes and Noble. Excellent. Wow, Michael Addis. What an honor to have you here.
That was nice of them to say that about
you better tell Barnes and Noble. Tell your kids to they did a good job in writing these reviews.
There's what, like seven or eight? How many reviews are there? There's a few of them.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they're not related to you, the people who reviewed them?
No.
Wow.
No, my mom didn't even write a
Your
review,
mom
and I asked her to. She's too busy.
I guess you didn't need to. But, you know, when did you come up with this idea? Because like I said, I love the concept. It's so important to be a storyteller for your kids.
Right. I came up with it because I got sick of reading Good Night Moon and the monkey that takes over New
Love
York.
Love you forever, Curious George. Right.
I'm Curious writing George.
Your kids are a little older, so you probably don't remember all of those books, but I am so sick of them and I can't read them.
I think I mentioned Curious George in the book.
That was chapter 7.
Very good. Wow, he's on top of it. It's a guy dressed as a flamenco dancer steals a monkey from Africa. It's just not something I want to tell my kids over and over again, just a couple times. And so I thought, I'm going to try to tell them a story, a parable about my own life. And so I would tell them stories, and they got excited about that, and they wanted more stories. So it got to the point where every night I'd come home from work at 7:30 or 8, and I would have just enough time to tell them a story. And they would ask for these stories, but on the way home, I would try to think of like a good story from my life. And usually they're teachable moments, you know, they're have morals to them. And the reason I wrote the book was to inspire other fathers and maybe mothers, but I don't know what it's like to be a mother. So other fathers.
I've been called a mother before.
Yeah, I have too, actually. tell other fathers, hey, you know, try this. Because you may not have defused bombs in Iraq or started billion-dollar companies, but your kids think you're a hero. They're amazed and they're fascinated with you. So tell the story. Tell stories to them.
The stories are great. And before we get into some of them, I do want to talk about the objective that you talk about, why you do it. And I'm not sure how to say this on radio, but you mentioned create non-a-holes.
Non-a-holes, yeah.
I think I can say that.
Yeah.
You say the full word in the book, but that's so important. Why do parents and dads in particular not realize that that should really be, as you call it, the objective?
I don't know, because to me, it has always been the objective. I always look at, I'm creating humans, I'm creating men, and I want them just to not be douchebags, you know? I don't want to just add to that pool. I think we have enough. I don't want to add to that.
Yes. And I think I'm not going to say anything politically. I try and stay away from it. But you have certain role models who really aren't role models. And if you can have a dad like you who are telling these stories, and that, like you said, there's morals to them. They're funny. They're entertaining. And they're not just some fantasy. They happened to their hero, their father. Yeah. How much do you embellish? Because I'm like you. I'm telling stories. And sometimes we have what's called lie time because my kids are still young. So I lie in bed with them and I tell the story. And sometimes I find myself, and I hope they're not listening, but I just embellish them a little bit to make them more entertaining.
Well, you won an award for storytelling, right?
I did. Millie the Moth. That was
Millie the Moth. That's right.
You know more about me than I know about myself.
I listen to the show.
Thank you.
So I think that embellishing is just part of the artistry of storytelling. And I think for kids to hold you on certain facts, it's forgetting that this is a story. This is like there is a little bit of embellishment. Look, this is Christmas time. This is the time where we lie to our kids about a big fat guy in a red suit coming down, you know. And so I don't lie to them about that, actually, but I do tweak some stories about things that happened to me. I don't tell them because they don't need or want to hear the whole truth.
And they weren't there.
They weren't there. That's right. There was no cell phones back in the day to take pictures.
That's right. But you do have people like, and I'm saying his name wrong, Steve Putz. No, it's not Putz. Your brother that you called your friend. Pultz.
Oh, Steve Pultz. Oh, yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. A little comedy there.
Yeah.
Pultz.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you have witnesses to your stories.
Yes. Steve and I did some pretty insane things in Eastern Europe. And I dressed like a devil and stopped traffic and we would take over, give big speeches in Budapest train stations. Some of those stories I hesitated and thought, you wouldn't tell this to your kid.
Yeah.
It gets a little too crazy. And so I think all fathers have to edit a little bit their stories.
But, I thought of that when I was reading the book and I was thinking, and again, you know, you have to tell me how old your kids were when you told these stories.
It's because, been years. You know, I've been telling them for years.
I understand that. But my kids being, you know, one turning seven, one five, some of the stories have a little bit of an adult thing. Not terribly. They have morals to them. And I was thinking, you know, when is the time to like tell stories from your teens and your young adults versus like I've told my kids stories like when I was 6 years old or 7 years old. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten to the ones when I was like 21 and I'm not sure. I might have to tweak them a little bit.
Yeah. I find that dating stories, generally the kids don't care. They don't want to hear them. They don't want to hear.
You talked about their mom, how.
Yeah, I did. I talked about how I met their mom.
Yeah, in chapter 19.
Very good. Is it really? And I talked about, a little bit about the divorce.
Yeah.
I think that kids need to understand what divorce is. And I try to be humorous because I just view life as absurd and. It's good to have a sense of humor about everything. But I talk about that. I talk about going to senior prom with a girl who had cancer.
Yeah.
And she died that summer. And I know that's a real knee slapper. But
it's poignant. I mean, something.
It's a mix.
Right? I mean, I think what people, when we read the reviews from the book, a lot of people are appreciating the humanity behind the book. And, you know, some things are funny, some things aren't. But when you marry that in this kind of book, it makes it more interesting than just trying to do comedy throughout the whole book.
Right. And I think that that's a way to get children to understand that the complexities of life still involve a simple way of looking at it as being fun and funny and you know, there's a bright side to things, you know? And so I just want my children to sort of look at life and not be too freaked out by it. I mean, things like I've talked to child psychologists and they tell me that kids really want to know about how to deal with their emotions. It's really tough for like little kids sometimes to handle anger, loneliness, fear. And so the stories involve those. And that's the best kind of story, is that here's something where daddy was really scared and he was scared of heights and had to climb down a mountain and da da da. And they like that.
They do. And I think hearing it from you, it makes it so much more important to them. They can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
On that vein, though, what lesson was taught to your kids for being the drummer for a lesbian band, Odd Girl Out?
Okay, the lesson is this. sometimes you're going to be the other. When I was in a lesbian band as the drummer.
And let's make it clear to our listeners, you are not a lesbian.
I'm a man, so yes, no, I'm not a lesbian. I love my lesbian brothers and sisters. Well, yes. Sisters, sorry. But yeah, I noticed that I was playing a lot of gay events and gay and lesbian events, and I was the no pun intended, odd guy out. And so I would play these things, and it was all of a sudden I felt like, oh, so this is what it feels like if you're not the norm,
right,
in a group.
And I think that's really great lesson. I mean, we talk about lessons, and I'm glad you brought that out, because the kids who may not, your kids, for instance, may not have experience with certain things, and through your eyes, you can open up their minds so that they are much more understanding and accepting, and they don't have any preconceived prejudices because their dad is telling them about experiences that you had.
Right. Speaking of prejudice, did you read the part where I was shooting a movie, Poor White Trash, in Southern Illinois, and this gang of guys came up to me, and the one main guy goes, "We heard that you were a Jew."
I did read that part.
Okay, and I said, yeah. It was like one of those things. I don't know if you ever get this, Alan, where it's like you're just angry right away. Like you hear that word.
Well, you said in the book you were kind of fearful.
I was a little bit scared, but a little bit like, I'm going to have to fight this guy.
And you said in your biggest tough guy way.
Yes. And I said, yeah, I am a Jew. And they said, yeah, because we wanted to go to temple with you on Saturday. You want to come down with us? I'm like, what? They were all Jewish guys, you know?
And you had no idea.
I had no idea. And I had preconceived notions. It's like you hear someone go, I heard you're Jew. You think, all right, it's deliverance.
And the moral of the story is you didn't go on Saturday because you had other things to do.
Because I'm a horrible Jew. I'm a bad Jew.
You didn't even have a bar mitzvah.
I didn't even have a bar mitzvah. I'm still a boy.
That's true.
Did you have a bar mitzvah?
I did. Yeah. No. So I am a man. But, you know, I had my share of anti-Semitism growing up.
It sucks.
Playing on a baseball team. I had, when I was running for president of my high school, they started to chant, "Don't elect a Jew," throughout the auditorium. So there was a lot of things that occurred. So I know what you're talking about. I've always been sensitive to it when someone comes up to you and says something. And that's why that story is so poignant for so many reasons. Anyway, we got to take a break. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got another segment with Michael Addis. The book is called Who's Your Daddy? Bedtime Stories I Tell My Kids But Maybe Shouldn't. It's a great read, and we're going to talk about where you can get it after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive, with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers, and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now, 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson paid for by the Sentinel Group. Attention military vets and current soldiers who served between 2002 to 2016. Have you or a loved one suffered hearing loss or tinnitus after serving or while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces? You may be entitled to compensation. 3M, the manufacturer of earplugs made for combat, recently paid the government $9.1 million to settle a False Claims Act case for knowingly selling these defective earplugs. If you or a loved one suffered hearing loss due to defective earplugs, call us now for a free case review. Call 800-590-4514. That's 800-590-4514.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you will certainly send any text about your supervisor to your supervisor.
What's with Janet's bangs? Did she lose a bet with a weed whacker? LOL. And sent. Wait, no.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Janet, I think my phone was hacked or something.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Clear thinking. Free discussion. AM 790. KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah, so much funnakah to celebrate Hanukkah.
Hanukkah is the festival of lights.
Instead of one day of presents,
we got eight crazy nights.
All right, that's enough. I asked for the Hanukkah song. I got it. Oh, there it goes. All right, equal opportunity for both celebrations. I hope everyone's having a great Sunday, and everyone is looking forward to holidays, the holidays, whatever you celebrate. We're having fun here in Gervie's Law. A lot of funny stuff, and we're talking to Michael Addis. The book is called Who's Your Daddy? Bedtime Stories I Tell My Kids. And we only have a few more minutes, Michael. It's so entertaining. We could talk for hours. Tell us about how this book has impacted your kids and how important it is for being a father, and why, this is a compound question, but why you feel that this book is so important.
I think it's important for fathers to not just espouse dogma to their kids. They have to say, here's some questions, here's some thoughts, here's how I dealt with this situation. I think narrative is the best way to teach a child, not just like, you should clean up your room, but here's a story about me cleaning up my room. That would be a boring story, but anyway.
You never know. I mean, the stories aren't boring. When you talk about the brown eggs and white eggs, that's not a boring story.
Oh, so yes, we had a chicken at one point, and James, who's now 12, but I think he was like 8 when I told the story, he said, Dad, do the brown eggs come out of the chicken's butt and the white eggs come out of the chicken's vagina? And I was like, that's crazy. Let me get you a glass of water. And then quickly Googled where they came out of. I didn't really know.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I think James is pretty smart. I have no idea.
She doesn't know either. They both come out of the same hole.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
So is it from a different colored skin, like an African-American chicken versus
that's
Caucasian?
True. Yeah, no, it is a different colored chicken. So the white chickens are making the white eggs, and a darker colored chicken makes the dark eggs.
That's wow. True.
And you know what? One's not healthier for you than the other.
And we only have a minute. Tell us your...
I want to talk about eggs some
tell
more.
Us, no, something. let's create some controversy. Your mother and father, the Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah. So my mother had called me one time and said, your dad has Alzheimer's. And it was very serious. And so we came out to LA, Florida to see him and with the kids. And, I talked to him for a while and realized that mom was mistaken. Dad did not have Alzheimer's. He had just become a Republican.
Okay. But I'm bum.
Well, no, it was true.
There we go. It was true. Maybe that's from the result of having Alzheimer's. Michael Addis, how can everyone get this book? You got to get it.
Oh, you got to go to Amazon.com.
I've heard of Amazon.
Okay, right. And go and search for Who's Your Daddy. There's Who's Your Daddy, but there's the dirty version. Don't get that.
No.
And then this is the one from Michael Addis. And I'm not the psychologist, Michael Addis. No. I'm the other one.
Addis.
Same one, yeah.
You got to get the book. It's a great gift.
And go to MichaelAddis.com. And because we have a travel component where we're going to have fathers travel with their kids. There's going to be a whole thing next year.
Well, we got to talk to you about that. We'll have you back and we'll talk about the travel component. MichaelAddis.com. Michael, happy holidays.
And to you too.
Thank you. And thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Gervie's Law. Next week, we've got the top 40. You won't want to miss that. Have happy holidays to everyone. Genevieve, happy holidays. Wayman, happy holidays. He nods his head. Daryl, happy holidays. And to all of you and my family, see you next week.